we continue our study on being a first century Christian in a 21st century world, I want to address a topic this morning on some seem to be religious. Some seem to be religious. Notice what it says in verse 26 and 27 of James chapter 1. Notice it says this in verse 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be what? Religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is what? Now that word vain means empty. You know, there are people who pretend to be religious. They pretend to be Christians, and yet they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then there's believers who are also seem to be religious. They're not practicing the faith laid down in the Word of God. Goes on to say, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself, what? Unspotted from the world. Now, verse 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious. Now, this statement allows for the great possibility that there's some who are seemingly religious who are not truly following the Lord Jesus Christ as they should. It means we encounter hypocrisy. Oh! You know how many times I've heard people say, you know what? Well, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there. And I said, well, you go to work, don't you? They say, yeah. I said, aren't there hypocrites there? I said, you go to the grocery store, don't you? They say, yeah. I said, well, they're hypocrites there, aren't they? I said, you know what? Why don't you just come to church and you can just be one more hypocrite there? Amen. Amen. But here's the sad thing. That is the impression so many people give the world, that where's hypocrisy, and that's all Christianity is. They have not really seen real, true Christianity being practiced. You know, I remember working at the Broadmoor one time, and this guy, he was an atheist, and he just hated everything Christian. And I happened to be working with him. He was another doorman. And I was talking to him, and he's just spewing forth all this hateful stuff. I said, you do realize I'm a Christian too, don't you? He says, yeah, but you're real. There was a difference. He saw there was a difference between me and the Christians so-called that he knew. He said, you're real. Now, why can't all of us be real? Right. You know, I'm talking about being real not only when you come to church. Well, you're not being real if you're putting on a front. But you ought to be real at home. You ought to be real when you're at work. You ought to be a real Christian no matter where you're at. Don't put on a pretense. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. The word hypocrisy means you're an actor. And you're acting like you're a true follower of Jesus Christ when you're not. And people perceive that. They're not as, stupid as you think they are. So I'll say that anyways. But you know, we do encounter hypocrisy. Now, the first hypocrisy we are to deal with is in others' lives, right? Oh, where do you think we need to start with that? There you go. We need to start with the hypocrisy in our own lives. Now, there is to be a true connection between what's on the inside and what's on the outside. You know, it's awful easy to look the part of a believer, isn't it? I mean, you guys can get a haircut. We can, you know, dress right, and we can come to church, and we can carry our Bibles, you know, and everybody's going to think, oh, man, look at that. They got their act together. And, you know, same thing with the ladies. But here's the thing. Is the inside what the outside is pretending you to be? You know, so many people come to church. I don't know what's on the inside, but they're covering a whole lot of stuff up. You know, I don't know, maybe you got jealousy. How many think that's Christian? Raise your hand. Maybe you got bitterness. How many think that's Christian? Raise your hand. How many think you got, or maybe some got a problem with forgiving somebody that did them wrong? That's real Christian, isn't it? Holding that grudge. You see, we can cover up a whole lot of stuff that's on the inside and look good on the outside, but you know what we are? We're hypocrites. We seem to be what? Religious. And we're not. We're not practicing the true faith. We need to clean up the inside as well as the outside. You know, some will tell you they're believers, and you look at them, you're wondering, how can that possibly be? Look at the way they look. You know, now some of them, no doubt, got saved later in life, and you can understand some of that. But I remember meeting this one guy who went to Bible college. And I'll tell you what, he looked like he played in the band Korn. How many know who Korn is? Shouldn't be listening to that stuff. But I mean, he looked, you know, he could have been in one of these heavy death metal groups. And he said, oh yeah, I went to Bible college. And I'm like, wow, I thought I was going to win him to the Lord. But he had a great profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But the outside didn't look like he had what he had on the inside. So there's really two kinds of hypocrisy, isn't there? But you know what? I find most people in churches like ours, that hypocrisy comes on the inside. We're not being what we portray ourselves to be. Now, the Lord warns us, if any man seem to be religious. Then he goes forward presenting certain tests to be used in examining to find out if there's truth in us or deception. Now, the Lord Jesus warned, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You see, oftentimes there's preachers, they pretend to be something they're not. And you know, sometimes we think just because somebody's kind and he's gentle and he's somewhat effeminate and he stands behind a pulpit and he's not real manly, we think, oh, that's a godly guy. And he talks to us all kinds of sweet things. Right? Yeah. You know what? That's not Christianity. But we think that is what, that's it. And he's not willing to offend anybody, and it's with the truth, and it's just shameful, isn't it? He's not delivering the goods from the Word of God. But you know, I wonder how many of us are somewhat similar. You know, we're just putting on sheep's clothing. We're not what we're supposed to be on the inside. And then he goes on to say, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth what? Good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. For by their fruits you shall know them. Now, who said that? Jesus did. So in all practicality, Jesus is dealing with the same thing Jesus did in this portion of Scripture where he says, if any man among you seem to be religious. Now, you and I, what we need to do is ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us where we're playing the hypocrite. You know, I would venture to say most of us know where we're doing it anyways. But you know what? Some of us deceive our own hearts. We're fully deceived. Now, there are some tests that we need to take. And one of the tests is the speech test. The speech test. You know, the pastor writes, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in what? You see that? we must first take the speech test. Now, when you read the book of James, you see there's a whole chapter that James deals with the tongue. Notice that chapter is chapter 3. It says, "My brethren," in verse 1 and 2, "be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a" what? "Perfect man." Does that mean he's sinless? No, it means he's mature. He has learned, or she has learned, to control their tongue. And able also to bridle the what? The whole body. Now, he goes on to illustrate this point. And we are to take a speech test. If our speech betrays what we claim to be, then our speech is evidence against us that we do not have the religion that we claim to have. I'll never forget sitting down at a table one time years ago, and this one person, they thought pretty highly of themselves as far as their Christianity is concerned. And we're eating lunch there, and all of a sudden I hear them spewing forth profanity. And I snapped my head around, looked at that person, and this is what they told me. They said, "God knows my heart." And I said, "Yeah, and he knows it's filthy because it's coming out your mouth." Now, you see, I don't let people get away with stuff like that. And I'm an equal opportunity offender. But don't tell me that your heart is clean when your mouth is spewing forth profanity. That doesn't work together. So ask yourself, you know what? What does your speech say about you? Do you use profanity? I mean, I realized very early on, probably the night I got saved, that I needed to clean up my mouth. You say, well, why is that? Because you know what? It wasn't Christian. I used a lot of profanity. I used the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as a cuss word. I'm sure I'm not the only one here. You know, some of you are looking at me like, really? You know, you got your halos on, but I see the horns that are holding that halo up. And so, you know what? I realized, you know what? If I'm going to have any kind of testimony, I need to clean up my language. How many here have ever heard a Christian start cussing? How many ever thought, man, that's a godly person? So ask yourself, what kind of language do I use when I'm cut off in traffic? What kind of language do I use if I hammer something and I miss the nail and hit my thumb? Now, I know it makes you feel better and the pain goes away because you're cursing. Then why do you do it? How about when you get in an intense moment of fellowship with your spouse? What kind of language comes out of your mouth then? And it doesn't have to be profanity. What do you call them? What do you call her? You know, sometimes angry words can benefit somebody. But oftentimes when in the heat of an argument, they do them a lot of damage. You know, I'm just not talking about profanity here. You know, some of us proclaimed us to be something better than where we are. You know, I'll never forget when I was at Alconbury Independent Baptist Church. I happened to be the treasurer. And so I know a little bit about how to do the treasurer's job. But I remember sitting there one night, it was a Sunday night, I believe, and they were trying to get people, you know what, to testify about giving and being a steward. And we had a deacon go up there, and he started talking about how God was blessing him because he tithed. And I'm sitting there, my jaw almost hit the floor. You say, well, why is that? Because he was a God robber. And I thought, man, if I was him, I would be afraid to, you know, I'd be like Ananias and Sapphira. I was going to drop dead. Now, I knew who gave because I was what? The treasurer. He happened to be a friend of mine. But I was like, he was portraying himself to be something that he's not. Now, none of us have ever done that, have we? You know, I would venture to say that some wives pretend to be submissive and obedient in church, but they're regular Jezebels at home when they don't get their way. Ooh, did you hear that pin drop, Earl? Even, man. Am I right? At church. Hey, I remember one time we came and Connie and I, and we were arguing all the way to church, right? We got out of the car. This morning, huh? Oh, okay. Does anybody else ever come to church? You're fussing and fighting with your spouse? Okay. But what happens when you hit the parking lot and get out of the car?
Don't you say a word. Get out.
Right? You're smiling like everything's just fine, isn't it? Right? And I'll never forget, we were doing that, and we always sat in the front. And so we're sitting up there, and this little fire hydrant-sized preacher, who was happened to be a guest preacher that night, short little fellow from Scotland, and he just peeled our hide. I said, did that little guy come back in our little Honda Civic? Was he stashed in that back there? He seemed to know everything that we were doing. And when the altar call came, I pushed Connie up there and said, get right with the Lord. Thank God she did. But you know what? There's all kinds of hypocrisy, isn't there? You know, what does your speech say about you? You know, oftentimes we go to profanity. And you know, when you talk about Peter, what did he do? He denied the Lord three times, did he not? And on the third time, what did he do? He cursed and swore, you know, said, hey, I don't like the man. Well, you know what? When you use unsavory speech, you know what? Everybody thinks you know not Jesus either. Right. And by the way, sometimes your speech betrays you when you keep your mouth shut. People expect better of you. People expect you to stand up and take a stand for Jesus instead of being a coward.
That's right.
Amen. What does your speech say about you? You say, well, I can't help it. I was reared up with a group of people that my family, they use profanity all the time. That's no excuse. You can get the victory over that. You know, when a person uses profanity, it just shows that they have an ignorance of the English language. You know, some people, if they took all the profanity out of their speech, they wouldn't have hardly anything to say. It's true. I listen to it, I'm like, whoa, wow, man, you could have said that in one word. But what's your speech say? Or lack of? Sometimes we have faithless words. We claim to be a Christian and do certain things, and we don't. James was a pastor at Jerusalem. He wrote this epistle to deal with the Christian life. Now think about how messed up we can use our language. Some like to gossip, don't they? Spread all kinds of stuff they know. And by the way, it doesn't have to be untrue. It can be true. But does it necessarily need to be spread? Some like to slander somebody. They like to tear each other or tear others down to make themselves look good. Now, how many think that's Christian? No. Now, our words should identify with the change that has taken place in our hearts since we became believers. You can ask Jacob, how old are you now, Jake? I know you're 30-something. But not once has he ever heard his parents cuss. Not once. I wonder if your children could say the same thing about you. Well, that's because you're the preacher. Yeah, that's only required of me, right? That's not what James says. Correct?
Amen.
Let me give you one more verse before we leave this test. In Psalm 19:14, the Bible says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my what?" The words need to be acceptable. And when they're not, what is it? Sin. What is it? We're not practicing pure religion, are we? We seem to be religious. You know, God makes a connection between our mouths and our hearts. There is a connection between what we say and what is in the heart. For those who seem to be religious, we must take the speech test. Are you willing to take it? Are you willing to clean up the tongue? And there's a second test. It's a service test. Notice what it says in verse 27 of James chapter 1. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself what? Unspotted from the world. So pure religion is to visit the what? Fatherless and what? Widows in their affliction. In other words, we can talk the right talk, but do we walk the right walk? God says if you have pure religion, if you are the Christian you ought to be, then your Christian service reveals it. Does your Christian service reveal that you are a person who is truly following the Lord? You see, all of us are responsible to help others out and encourage them. It's not just the preacher's job. Every one of us are responsible. You know, sometimes people that we know have a need, and we need to be there to meet that need. There are times when people truly need you. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. Just showing up means the world to them. Just showing up. You know, sometimes they need you to pray with them. Sometimes they need you to help them. Sometimes they need a word of encouragement. We ought to be that someone. It's wonderful that God gives us all the responsibility to care and love for one another. Now, the following passages describe how God desires Christians to behave to one another. Notice you'll find that phrase in these verses. We are members of one another, are we not? And being members one of another, should we not take care of one another? How many here have ever hurt a finger? All right? Sure, we all have, haven't we? And what do you do when that finger's hurt? The whole body seems to tend to that thing, does it not? And so we try to comfort it, don't we? Well, you know what? We're members one of another. We're part of the body of Christ. And hear what Romans 12:5 says. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So it sounds to me like if somebody's hurting, we all should be hurting. If somebody's rejoicing, we all ought to be rejoicing. Here's the thing, though. Sometimes, you know what? God blesses somebody in the church. I mean, does it in a miraculous way. And you know what? We sit there and we think, God hadn't done that for me. And we cannot even rejoice because somebody else was blessed.
Right.
Now, is that Christian? How about hurting when somebody else is hurting?
Right.
You know, is it time to make fun of that? Is it time to ignore that? Perhaps you ought to know that we care enough and we're showing a little compassion and a little sympathy. Members one of another. Then we're to minister the same one to another. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what? We all have a gift, don't we? And you know what? We ought to use that gift to help others out. You know, there is the gift of prophecy, right? There's the gift of mercy. And when somebody's hurt, you know, those with the gift of mercy, they can sure be a good help to those who are hurting. Sometimes people need a gift of organizing. They need to know how to arrange certain things. And those people with that gift ought to be able to be there and help. We all have a gift. We ought to use it. Sometimes it's just simply the gift of serving. And we ought to serve one another. That's what Galatians 5:13 says. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love what? Serve one another. You know, so many are just wanting to be served. They like to sit back and they like to observe. They like people serving them. But we're supposed to serve what? One another. You know, ask yourself, am I too proud to serve other people? Is that why I don't do it? Well, if I really love Jesus, I would serve others, would I not? No matter who they are. Then it says, bear ye another burdens. Look at Galatians 2, chapter 6, verse 2. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Right.
You know, when you got a friend that can help you with your burden, it sure is a pleasant thing, isn't it? None of us should be bearing our burdens alone. You say, well, preacher, you know what? Nobody's helped me. Okay, then don't help anybody else. That's Christian, isn't it? How about forgiving one another? Doesn't Ephesians 4:32 say, and be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you? Now, how many here would like to be forgiven by God? Okay, and how many here would like to be forgiven by God, but he still holds it against you? Oh. That's how a lot of us practice forgiveness, though. We still hold it against the transgressor. Then admonishing one another. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, how's the word of God going to dwell in you richly? Oh, not by neglecting the Bible, is it? You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to study it. You're going to have to put it into practice. Teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know what that word admonish means? It means to reprove gently. How many here have ever been reproved? We all have. How many here have been reproved harshly? Oh, we all have. Yeah, we all grew up with parents. But you know, a reproof that is gentle goes a long way, does it not? Now, here's the thing. How many think I'd be a good friend if I never reproved you? You know, every one of us does things that are wrong, right? Now, isn't it nice? You know, I know sometimes, you know, I hear this still small voice, and sometimes it grabs my knee when I'm about ready to do something perhaps I shouldn't do. And she says, John, because she knows. She can just see the temperature rising. She says, John, don't do it. Don't do it. And most of the time I listen, don't I? What's she doing? She's reproving me gently. You know, you're not a good spouse if you don't reprove your spouse for doing wrong. Doesn't the Bible say about a friend that faithful are the what? Wounds of a friend. You're not much of a friend, you're not much of a spouse if you don't reprove the one you said I do to. Well, you know, they just don't listen. Well, let them be a knucklehead. But you can reprove gently, and then they'll be responsible for everything that they do. But take your responsibility to admonish them. That's what we're supposed to do, are we not? How many of you have ever been admonished from some preacher behind a pulpit? Oh, yeah, that's not pleasant. I'm glad it doesn't happen here. It's all love here.
It is love.
It is. Not the way they twist it today. Then it says, let us consider one another in Hebrews 10:24. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love unto good works. You know, we're so busy considering ourselves, we don't have any time to consider anybody else. You know, we're supposed to think about them, are we not? Then here's one. I'm sure none of us are in violation of this. But in James 4:11 says, speak not evil one of another. Oh, zap. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you ever spoke evil of someone else, because I know you all did. Now, it accomplishes a lot, doesn't it? Oh, it doesn't. But we keep doing it, don't we? Maybe we'd be better off if we prayed for them. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a hard thing, isn't it? Because sometimes you think of certain people and you can't think of much pleasantness about them. But we're still not to what? Speak evil of them. Then aren't we supposed to love one another? Isn't that the mark of Christianity? Well, I don't like them. I didn't say you have to like them. You have to love them. Correct? You know, there's sometimes I'm sure Connie doesn't like me. There's times I don't like her. But I always love her. Now, I'm sure none of you other married couples feel the same way. I see you rolling your eyes, Laura. I know you're in full agreement. And we all are with you. speak evil. That was the truth. Anyways, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Amen.
But we're supposed to love one another. You know, we're all supposed to prefer one another.
Right.
Do you do that? Or do you always want your way? We are to exhort one another, according to the book of Hebrews. You say, what's that word exhort mean? That word exhort means build one another up.
Right.
We're good at tearing down. We're not so good at building up, are we? But yet that's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Then there's a third test. And it's the spot test. Notice what it says in verse 127 again. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Now ask yourself the question. How many here know that there's people that are ill and haven't been in church for a while? When's the last time you took any effort at all to visit them? Aren't we supposed to love one another? Aren't we supposed to show compassion to one another? Aren't we supposed to visit those people that are afflicted? I think that's what it says here, right? Doesn't say to ignore them, does it? Now, I know sometimes, you know, you may not be able to do it, but you can always drop a line and give them a call. Let them know that you care and you're praying about them and for them. God says if we're supposed to have pure religion, goes on to say, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself. Now, it didn't say anything about you women here. But I'm thinking it includes you.
Amen.
Unspotted what? From the world. Now, we must remain without spots or blemishes from the world. You see, if our character is questionable, my testimony is not what it should be. For instance, let's say you see me in my car one day, and I'm like, well, you know what? I pull on in and I go to one of those little medication places with the green crosses on. You know, I got a headache, you know, or my back is aching. And so I go in there and I get out in the car and you see me there, right? Now, how many think, well, I bet you he's there to probably witness to those people. He's there to try to shut that place down. No, he's there to buy some what? Some medication. He's there to buy some weed. And so you see me driving away, and I got a little pipe in my hand, and I light that thing up, and you say, man, how many think that you would think good thoughts of your pastor? No. Matter of fact, you'd probably get on the phone and speak evil of me to everybody. You'd be confessing my faults to everybody. But you would think pretty lowly of me. I ruined my testimony, didn't I?
Right.
You know, well, what about some of the other things we do? Don't you think other people take notice? Don't you think we're, you know, they look at us and they say, you know what, you should be behaving better? Right? I mean, we, you know, some of us are spotted all over like a Dalmatian dog. And we think nothing of it. Yet, you know what? When we put our faith in Christ, our lives ought to be changed. What about if you saw me hanging with all the wrong crowd? You'd say, oh, man, you know, he's just trying to be the light amongst the darkness. That's what you would say, right? He's just being the salt he needs to be to the unsalty. You would say, birds of a feather flock together. That's who he really is. I would. You know, it's always funny when kids of Christian parents hang around with the wrong crowd. And then they say, well, they're not like that. Then why are they hanging around with that crowd? Why are they accepted by that crowd? Why are they doing the things that that crowd does? Don't be an idiot. But we're spotted. What if Earl works on my car. What happens if I take my car in and Earl starts it up to take it into the bay and all of a sudden he hears some Led Zeppelin on there? But it's kind of a religious because I'm listening to Stairway to Heaven. Now, what do you think Earl would think? Preacher's a hypocrite. Wouldn't he? You know, what about what you're doing? You know, if I came home one day and Connie's watching some filth on TV, she'd be a hypocrite. And if you knocked on my door and we're both watching filth, we're both hypocrites. We kind of monitor one another. We hear something that shouldn't be said, we turn it off. We switch it to something a little more wholesome. We don't say, well, that's just the way people speak. Well, that's just the way the heathen live. Well, why are you watching that stuff? Why are you listening to that nonsense? Well, it ain't going to affect me none. Yeah, you Dalmatian dog, it sure does. You're feeding something you shouldn't be feeding. You know, none of you would care for me if I hung around with the Ministerial Association. I'm hobnobbing with the libs. Those who deny the virgin birth, those who deny the blood atonement, those who deny the scriptures. But I'm hanging around with them. You wouldn't appreciate that, would you? Because that crowd will affect me. Just like anything you watch or listen to. It affects you. Oh, we better stop there. But take those tests. Hey! Do you seem to be religious? All right.